Lateral violence, sometimes known as intra-racial conflict, affects Indigenous communities around the world. It's been described as internalised colonialism. People who feel oppressed and powerless direct their anger and frustration towards each other rather than towards their oppressor. This week, an Indigenous health service in Victoria has received a national award for its work in tackling lateral violence in the workplace and in the local community. For more than a decade, Tess Howells has been a consulting psychologist with the Dawoodwarong Warong Health Service based in the city of Portland in southwest Victoria. Tess Howells, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran. Lovely to be with you.
Tess, can you define lateral violence for us? Describe it, what it is and how it's different from just bullying?
I think you've described it fairly well already, and that it has its roots in colonisation, where people are dispossessed, feel a loss of identity, loss of role, and then following from the original colonisation, many of the early policies contributed further to those feelings by segregating people, isolating people, and causing people to compete for scarce resources.
But how does it display itself within a community or within an Indigenous workplace that is any different than the sort of, you know, tensions and bullying we might see in a non-Indigenous workplace, say?
I guess it's different in the sense that of the origins, and that these are wounded people to start with. And so they've learnt these behaviours as a way of survival, and it's intergenerational. So it's quite extensive. Many of the actual behaviours are similar to bullying behaviours, but they're widespread. It's estimated that as many as 95% of Aboriginal people have some experience of lateral violence.
Okay, you're not Indigenous, but you've been at the Dawood Wurrung Health Service for 12 years, the organisation.
Yes.
What was the situation there when, in your time, a new CEO, I know, came in July, yes, and that, yes, was a decision to address this issue? This is what you've, yes, received the award for. What was done?
Well, I've been working there as the psychologist for many, many years and know community quite well. And I was dealing a lot with the consequences of that behaviour. So, you know, people who had very poor mental health and weren't productive in the workplace, who were involved in much of this destructive behaviour in the workplace. And with a change of CEO last July, the incoming CEO was very keen to do something to address this, which was really quite exciting because previous leaderships had not really understood or taken it seriously. So we set about implementing a fairly comprehensive plan to address this in a holistic manner. So we are looking at strengthening people's abilities to manage, to reduce mental health indicators, mental illness indicators, to teach skills of how to conduct respectful relationships. We have had a look at our policies and procedures. We have strengthened our management team and given our management team training. We've initiated mandatory training for many of our staff members and board members in the relation to respectful relationships. And we're continuing to do ongoing work in this regard.
And how has it changed the atmosphere there at the health service?
Look, significantly. I couldn't have imagined that we would be where we are in less than 12 months' time. So we took measures when our new CEO came in, and we've just repeated those measures after 10 months. And across the depression, anxiety, stress scale, we have had a significant reduction of people who were originally experiencing quite severe levels of depression, anxiety and stress. We've had that significantly drop, and we've had a significant increase in the number of people who are now in the normal range, that's the non-clinical range, so they're functioning so much better. We also administered a workplace tool that measures engagement in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And our levels of engagement have significantly increased. Our absenteeism has decreased, and people are happier in the workplace and continuing to learn the skills that continue to develop that respect, not just in the workplace, but then taking those skills out into their community. And we engage regularly with community by, for example, every fortnight we hold a community lunch where our elders and community members gather over a lunch. Mm-hmm. And we'll often run at those times toolbox sessions.
Okay.
That, you know, might address something like communication skills.
Right. It's 5 minutes to seven. Our guest is Tess Howell. She's a consulting psychologist with the Dawood Wurrung Elderly and Community Health Service in Portland in Victoria. It's not a new problem. It was identified, well, the first time I heard of it was when Mick Goodder, back in 2011, he was the Social Justice Commissioner, raised it and said it was going to be a focus of the commission. Yes. Also, Noel Pearson from Cape York, he's spoken about it. He suggested that the lower down the social pyramid you go, the more intense the dynamic is, that middle-class Indigenous Australians aren't nearly as affected by the dynamic of lateral violence as those lower down. And for those at the bottom, he says the gravitational forces are so strong as to almost prevent any progress. Yes. Do you agree with that description of it by Noel Pearson?
Look, I think that's true, but we also see middle-class Indigenous people who have succeeded in you know, professional life or in business life, who continue to struggle with having a sense of being pulled down or attacked by people who haven't had those opportunities or haven't taken those opportunities. So I remember in the reports that you're citing, I remember Noel Pearson talking about the bucket of crabs that that Paul Keating described this as, and he said, "You mob are all like a bucket of crabs. As soon as one of you tries to climb out of the bucket and reaches the rim, the rest of you, you know, pull it back down, and you all get cooked." So
it's kind of like the tall poppy syndrome, though, right?
It is kind of like the tall poppy syndrome, but within that Indigenous and colonial history context.
Okay. Tess Howells, congratulations on this award. Congratulations to all at the Dawood Wurrung Health Service, and thank you very much
for
joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Fran, for your interest.
Tess Howells is a consulting psychologist with the Dawood Wurrung Elderly and Community Health Service in Portland, Victoria. You're listening to RM Breakfast.